Let's lift our hands together and say, Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, this evening we receive revelation of the written word. Together as a church, our hearts and our eyes behold Jesus Christ your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we're edified. Amen. Okay, so today we come to a temporary conclusion. I use that because we always continue on taking spirit-led decisions. There are subjects you can't overemphasize. You don't even assume that people know it. I remember what one of my friends said that years ago. He said, there are things you remind yourself of because you can easily forget them. And one of them is the leading of the Spirit. You can't become an expert in obedience because you live in a world where you've got to recognize the pressures that come to hear other voices. Now, next week we'll be bringing out one of our old books, Life of Honor, and that's because of the emphasis. I believe the book is very, very detailed and exhaustive and doctrinal enough to cover all the bases. And if you don't have the book already, go get it. And I think this weekend we'll also have The Leading of the Spirit, another one of the old books. If you don't have it also, get a hold of it, because there's information in there that is good for you now, and to study them. Praise the Lord. So the subject of leading of the Spirit is something you can't become a master. You can't say, I have mastered. No. You've got to keep hearing God's word in that direction so that you can walk in the light of it. So Matthew 28, we'll do some expanded study this evening. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what Father has given unto me in heaven and earth. And he says in 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, the fundamental thing here is the statements of Jesus are not mere quotes. They are explanations of what we refer to as the Old Testament. Like I said on Sunday, one of the challenges of our study today is the breaking up of God's Word in somehow technically flawed ways. For example, the use of Old Testament and New Testament. Let me use the illustration I used on Sunday. Let me have your Bible. Okay, now, the first challenge is the cover page, the chapter page, content page. You have books of the Bible, then you have the word Old Testament. Then you have the word New Testament. So you assume that the things here are old, the things here are new, even though the things here were written over 2,000 years ago, but they are still new, right? But the things up here are old. Now, that on its own is misleading, because the Old Testament has nothing to do with books. Not at all. The Old Testament has nothing to do with books, same as the New Testament. What we refer to as the New Testament is the promise made in Genesis, for example. And so when you say Old and New Testament, they're a function of study, not a function of breaking up books. You will find New Testament practice in the book of Acts. You also find Old Testament practice in the book of Acts. You will find Old Testament practice between Genesis and Malachi. You will find New Testament practice between Genesis and Malachi. So it's a function of study and not just cliche. You know. And I said to you on Sunday, and of course previous times, that Jesus didn't teach from Matthew. He didn't teach from Ephesians. Paul didn't teach from Colossians. Every one of the authors of what we call the New Testament, the epistles, they taught from Genesis to Malachi. And John, in the Synoptic, John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 1, calls Genesis to Malachi the Word of God. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God, and God was a Logos. So if Genesis to Malachi is the Word of God, and in Luke 24, verse 44, Jesus said, this is the words, or these are the words, Logos, or Legon, or Logos, that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened here their understanding in 45, that they might understand the scriptures. So which means that the word of God, when you hear so mightily grew the word of God, Acts 19:20, and prevailed, he's not talking about the book of 1 Corinthians. He's talking about Genesis to Malachi. That's the word of God that prevailed. In 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul says that, you know, I delivered unto you the gospel, and then he says in verse 3, how that Christ died for our sins, he calls out the gospel, according to Genesis to Malachi. How he was buried and raised again the third day, verse 4, according to Genesis to Malachi. So, the gospel is according to Genesis to Malachi. Romans 1, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God, he calls it the gospel of God, the gospel of God, which in verse 2, he promised aforetime in the scriptures, holy scriptures by the prophets, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and he is the son of God with power by the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Romans 1, 17, 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Then it says, first to the Jew, and then to the Greek or to the Gentile. Then it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Then it says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what he calls the gospel, he says, is the just shall live by faith. In Habakkuk 2:4. Hebrews 4:1 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For the gospel, verse 2, was preached unto them, just like it's done to us. But the word preached, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So he calls the gospel what was preached to Israel. So, we have no right to call the four gospels the gospel. Because the gospel was preached in Exodus. The gospel was preached in Genesis. Galatians 3:8. For the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel before to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the kindreds, the families of the earth be blessed. So, if there's the gospel in Genesis, there's the gospel in Exodus, there's the gospel in Deuteronomy. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, for whatsoever the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And what text is Paul going to refer to? Before then, he says, say not in your heart, who shall go to heaven to bring down Christ, or who shall go to the abyss to bring him from the dead. Verse 6 and 7, for whatsoever the word is nigh thee, he's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 30, the four times and the three times, pardon me, where Jesus was tempted in Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel. And he says, it is written. The three times, Deuteronomy 8:3, Deuteronomy 6:13, Deuteronomy 6:16. The three texts are in Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy also is the word of God. Exodus is the word of God. In John 5, when it says, be ye perfect, verse 48, as your Father, Heavenly Father is perfect. That's Leviticus 11:44. Be ye holy as the Lord your God is holy. So the Word of God actually is what we refer to as the Old Testament. Therefore, that division has not helped our studies. Because for every statement that Jesus makes, he is not just making a quote, he's making an explanation of several Old Testament texts and scenarios. So when Paul picks the Bible and he's saying, God is leading you by his Spirit, he's not using Ephesians. He's not using Colossians. He's making reference to Genesis, to Malachi. So that's why we picked our thematic study the way Paul will have taught it in Ephesus. So when he says in Romans, as many as are led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14, I'm going to show you in a moment, what they were reading to explain it, the narratives, the explanation will be found Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Are we together? All right, good. So, we have studied that from Genesis 17, verse 1, walk before me. No, 15, sorry. No. Genesis 17, 1. I'm Almighty God, right? Walk before me and you'll be perfect. And we looked at the Exodus experience too. Now, let's go to Genesis 3:24. How do I take spirit-led decisions? We concluded last week that it must be according to our inheritance, right? Remember that? Okay. According to our inheritance. Genesis 3. Okay, Genesis 3:24. Okay, so he drove out the man and he placed at the heels of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So we have a way there. A way, which is the Hebrew word derek. Derek. A way. So we have the way of the tree of life, which according to Genesis 2 verse 9 is in the midst of the land, right? Which is the same thing as the Spirit. We'll come to that shortly. Genesis 6 and 12. Okay. God looked upon the earth and behold it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. His way upon the earth. And that's showing disobedience. So the way had been corrupted. So the word derek, which is has to do with distance or a journey, a trip, is from another Hebrew word darak, D-A-R-A-K, which means to walk cautiously, to walk deliberately, or to tread on a path. So therefore, if there is a way off the tree of life, and this has been corrupted here, then we must do some search. Of course, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, or 2, the very first mention of the word Spirit, or the Spirit of God, says the earth was without form and void, which refers to mankind without the life and light of God. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God, and God says, let there be light, or I am light be. Then Genesis 3:8, what did Adam walk away from? He heard the voice of the Lord, call, K-O-L, which has to do with a message. Same you find in Genesis 4, the voice of your brother, which means the message. Then he says, in the cool of the day, I told you the word cool there, is the word ruach, the same Hebrew word for spirit, cool. So when Moses uses cool of the day, he's not saying that rain had just fallen and the whole atmosphere is so nice, like it's cool in here. No, they are all spiritual terms. Cool is used for breath and air. And so the word there is ruach, which is the same word for spirit. And don't forget, it's the Spirit of God that is hovering over the whole earth. Alright? And then verse 3 says, he says, let there be light. And what is called light, he called day, yom, day. So if I say the Spirit of God, and I say in the cool of the day, I mean the Spirit of the light of God. The Spirit of the day of God. So he's showing you that Adam is in a distance away from God's direction and leading. Adam here is in a distance away from God's direction and also his leading. So, in Genesis 17 verse 1, you know, I told you that you must read scriptures together. It's, that's why I said the verses, okay, I was going to mention that, that apart from the Old Testament, New Testament dichotomy, then the verses also have corrupted our understanding. Because those who broke the scriptures into verses have already given you their own interpretation. Which means they assume that the makers of the statement group their words that way. But that's not true. Both the chapters and the verses have nothing to do with the Spirit of God. I'm not saying they are evil. No, they are not. But they have the capacity to weaken our study, because you will stop where you ought not to have stopped. Or you will start where you ought not to have even started at all. Or you will group words together that ought not to have been grouped together. Or you will split words that ought not to have been split at all. Hallelujah. So, that's the challenge that does for us. So, but if you have what I call, I learned that in the school, community reading, that means that you are able to read everything together as a singular story, as a singular event. Then you have sub-events, sub-themes. God has a plan, okay, to call out man out of darkness into his light. So you have a sub-story of that, Abraham. You have a sub-story, Noah preserved in the midst of evil. You have a sub-story, Enoch. You have a sub-story, Isaac. So you have sub-stories of the main story. Then you have the Exodus, which is the main sub-story of the main story. Then you have the kingdom of David. So all of that will now end up in the person of Jesus, who now becomes the heir of everything. He becomes the heir of all those stories. Hebrews 1 says that at sundry times in diverse manners, the prophet spoke in time past unto the fathers, and God in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the expression of his person, when he appointed all things by word of power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right of righteousness and night. So you see that he's saying that there is a journey that ends up in Jesus, who now takes responsibility of all those sub-stories. They're now his story. So, again, reading them, you know, in a disjointed way will always give you a disjointed understanding. Because the background of the epistles is the book of Acts. The background of the book of Acts is the four gospels. The background of the four gospels is the prophets. The background of the prophets is the law from Exodus. The background of the law is Genesis. The background of Genesis 12, Abraham, is Genesis 11 or 1 to 11. The background of Genesis 3, Genesis 1 and 2. So by the time you read it like that, everything becomes a singular story with different characters. Let me see if you understand what I just said. Okay, so now, in Genesis 17 verse 1, we now find Abraham. We studied that before now, just to go back there again. Genesis 17 verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old, and 9, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord appeared to him, which you see in Genesis, confirms that he is a prophet. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, you'll be perfect. Almighty God. He says, walk before me, you will be perfect. We've studied that word walk, the same word alak. In Genesis 3:8, Genesis 6:9, and Genesis 5:24. 24 24 about Noah who walked with God. What about Genesis 5? Let me just remind you. Genesis 5:9 and 5, just a reminder, 5:9 and 5:24. Did I say that? 5:22, 5:24, and then Genesis 6, Noah now, verse 9, and then Genesis 17, verse 1. So when you see Noah walked, Enoch walked, the words of God walked in the garden, Genesis 3, 8. So that is, you read it together. Is that clear? Then you have walk before me and you will be perfect. The word perfect there is the word tamim, T-A-M-M-I-M. It means sound or complete. Now again, there's a background there, and it's Noah, Genesis 6:9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations and walked with God. See again, walk with God. So that means whatever was about Noah was the same thing about Abraham. Walk before me, alak, you will be perfect. I mean, Noah walked with God, alak, he was perfect in his generations. I mean. So that word means to be finished, to be spent. That's the word taman, to be finished, to be spent. So the question for us is, what was Noah's responsibility in the earth? Noah was a preacher. Noah was a preacher. We were not informed of his profession. We have very little knowledge about his family life until after the flood. And what we have there is not so fantastic. We know very little about him, except the fact that both Noah and Enoch were prophets of God. Is that very clear? So they were prophets of God. So the same thing is the reference here. Walk before me, you will be perfect. So, in other words, what he is being led to do here is being led in the ministry of the word, or the ministry of God's promise or promises. So, where is he supposed to walk? Because if I say walk before me, that means I'm going somewhere, then I ask you to walk with me. Right? Are you with me? So, did he take Abraham into a room and say, let's just have a walk? No. That means there must be a walk of God. Okay? And then Abraham was joining in. And that walk commenced in Genesis 3:24. We said that. Genesis 1:2. Whatever we see the Spirit of God doing the earth, Genesis 1:2, Genesis 2:9, Genesis 3:8, Genesis 3:24 will be the walk. So whatever God is leading you to do will be in his own walk. I say walk as W-A-L-K. Eventually it's his walk though. So, let's track back to chapter 13. Where he says in verse 17, arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I'll give it to you. Now, don't forget what the land is. Verse 15, the land which you see as to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Verse 16, I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man can number the dust of the earth, so shall thy seed be. So the land is supposed to walk in, is it a room or the whole earth? Okay, so is walking in it here is a vision. A vision of the whole earth. Walk in it. Now, pay attention here. The word walk here in 13:17 is another shade of the word alak. It is the word sebab. S-E-B-A-B. S-A, sorry, B-A-B. But in the, when you take it together, is the word niaseb. This is just for some technical details now. Yaseb, sorry. Y-A-double-Y. Sorry, W-A, I'll take that again. W-A-double-Y-A-S-E-B. So we want to see how it's used. Walk in the land. Walk in the land. What would you refer to? Now, that takes us to Exodus 13. Because the writer of Exodus, the writer of Genesis, Exodus 13, verse 18. But God, watch this now. But God led the people about. He led them about through the way of the wilderness. To lead about. Genesis 13, verse 18. Now, go to verse 8. Thou shalt show thy son, look at that narrative, in that day saying, this is done because of that which the Lord had done to me when I came forth out of Egypt. Thou shalt say to your son, so you have this leading, then you have the son being the background of it. Okay, the son. And I told you that when you hear son in the Old Testament, permit me to use the word Old Testament, it is not just referring to a womb being fertilized. That's why people get it wrong, that God is called the Son of God. Son is not just someone that is a fertilized egg. No. That's another very critical understanding that should come to us. So he says to your son, why? Because he has mentioned Israel in chapter 4 of Exodus 22 as my son and my firstborn. Two different things. My son, my firstborn. My son, my firstborn. So, Exodus 13:8. Now, let's just make mention of this. Deuteronomy 8:12 and 8:16, just for further reference. Deuteronomy 29 verse 5. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Verse 21. Thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen or slaves, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He brought us out. Sebab. Brought us out. Say to your son, because we're just like his sons. So, let's look at other references to that. Psalm 136 verse 16. Psalm 136. Verse 16. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. He led them through the wilderness. Ezekiel 20 verse 10. Ezekiel 20 and verse 10. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land and brought them into the wilderness. Hosea 13. Hosea 13 verse 5. Hosea 13:5. I'm the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know of no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I know thee in the wilderness, in the land of the great drought. Okay, which is what he did there. Amos 2:10. Amos 2:10. I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of Amorite. So the concept of the Sebab is to take you, is a deliverance concept into a particular place. You are taken from one place to the other. So the leading of God is not haphazard. It can be defined. Do you get it? It's definite. It's not something, I'll take you here, I brought you here. I took you here, I brought you here. Now, one more. Now, go to Deuteronomy 1:31. Watch this. And in the wilderness, let me start from 30. The Lord your God which goeth before you, look at what he goes before you, he'll fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In the wilderness where thou art been, how the Lord bore thee as a man bore his son. You know, I read the son concept for you earlier, right? Okay. As a man bore his son in all the way that you went until you came into this place. The word way here is the word derek. So you have derek, you have sebab in the same text. I took you out of to bring you here like a father would bear the son. Like a father will bear the son. So the word here, let me refer to one more thing. Then he says here, okay. Yet in the thing, verse 32, you did not believe in the Lord your God. So I want you to observe the word carried here, to bear. Here, to bear, which is he carried, is the word Nasah, N-A-S-A-H, N-A-S-A-H, to carry, N-A-S-A-H. So here's the text I'm trying to locate. Okay, Deuteronomy 11 verse 5. And he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. Until you were brought into this place. So we have some words. Let me get back to them. We have the word alak. We studied that the last few weeks. We have the word derek, a journey to, which has been mentioned here. We have the word sebab, which is to bring out into a place. Or to take about. Then we have the word here, Nasah, N-A-S-A-H. I'm not paying attention to something. I'm seeing it in my note, but I don't know what I'm not paying attention to. Because there's another phrase in all of this leading. Just put it somewhere, I'm going to get it. Is the B-I-N, Deen, to discern, which is in Genesis 6 and 3, to discern. So you have four words. One, to take on a journey, derek. Two, Nasah, to bear like a child that you want to grow up, a man and a son. Three, we said the word sebab, which is to take from two, to bring out two, sebab. Then the word alak, to walk with or to follow behind. Have I mentioned Nasah? Alright, and the last one is being to cause you to discern. Sabbath means to lead about, okay? Now, obviously, in Paul's teaching on Romans 8, he brings in all these concepts. The leading, to bear up, and to lead around. Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8, but let me struggle to find the text I missed. Sorry. Romans chapter 8. Just remain there. I'll be with you shortly. Oh, now I got it. Jeremiah 32. Verse 10. A very key explanation. That's why I knew something was missing. Good. Now, this was Moses recapping the Exodus. Then it says in verse 1, give ear, O heavens, and I'll speak, O earth, the words of my mouth. It's called the Song of Moses in many translations. But let's just go to verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is a lot of his inheritance. Jacob is a lot of his inheritance. He found him in the desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, and that's what? He instructed him, which is the word bin, B-I-N. The word you find in Genesis 6 and 3. My spirit shall no longer strive with man. That is, which is to warn, to cause to discern, to cause to know. But here he says he led him about and instructed him. He kept him, that he's talking about an entire nation. Okay? He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle, verse 11, stirs up a nest, flutters over our young, spreads abroad our wings, takes them, what again now? Bears them where? On our wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. So, you find the word instructed. So, how many words do we have? We have to take on a journey. We have to cause to follow, to cause to discern. Okay? We also have to take from a place which shows destination. You are going from here to here. So God told them exactly where they were going to. Is that very clear? So if you, whatever decisions they were meant to take, they were meant to take decisions according to the land. So your decisions, no matter who you are, it has to be according to the inheritance, according to the promise. So he led them, he caused them to discern, and also instructed them. And Paul explored all these words in the Greek word in Romans 8:14, as many as are what? Are you there? For as many as are. Now, let's see that text. It will make a lot of sense now. If you start from one. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. You see it? Okay? Which are in Christ. Now, let's skip the B part because it's controversial. To, for the law, where do you have law? Exodus. Right? Is that Exodus? Okay. For the law, so if you're in Rome and you're in Paul's teaching service, you open to Exodus. You're not going to open to Galatians. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If he's the Logos of the Old Testament, the Dabar, you're going to find him there. Has set us free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death was found in Egypt already. So he says, now in the Exodus, we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Which is what we call the Ten Commandments. Amen. Thou shalt worship no other God but me. Alright. You keep the Sabbath and make it holy. Because that's the day the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And he rested in it. You say, wow, praise God. Then he says that law will make you honor your father and mother. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son into the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, that's like Moses going into Egypt. Condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who what? Walk. That's walk, right? We've seen walk earlier, right? in Genesis, right? Not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now, is the spirit the inheritance? Right? The land? Very good. Now, look at the next time. For they which are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Of course, those are the disobedient folks. Those who are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but the spiritual mind is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and is also the law of God, neither can it be, indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. This is salvation, right? Right? We passed the Red Sea, have we? Here, right? Good. It says, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. Verse 12, therefore brethren, you are dead us not to the flesh, live unto the flesh, for if you live unto the flesh, you will die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you are alive. Then 14, for as many as are what? Led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Does Exodus come to mind? You know what I mean? Right. They are the sons. So can we say carried by the spirit? Led from one place to the other? Okay. What about cause you to discern? Same thing. They are the sons of God. Or can we say they are the ones called to the inheritance? Is that the right thing? Is that correct? Come on. Called to the inheritance. They are the sons. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's Egypt. But you have received the spirit of adoption hereby. What do you mean spirit of adoption? I tell you. When God said, "Say to Pharaoh, Israel is my son. Israel is my firstborn." That's it here. Uthesia. Then he says, the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let's take 17 together. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, you shall also be glorified. So, inheritance, we read that earlier, right? Read that earlier? Right? Good. So, the leading is for or about the inheritance. So, Paul explored it by using the word agor, which means to carry, to bear up, to lead around. So, the word agor in the Greek takes on all we've studied, the Nasa, the Sebab, the Derek, and of course the Alak. They all come under one word. So it makes a lot of sense for us. Since you know that he's teaching from the Genesis to Malachi stories, then it makes sense for us to go into the detail of the word ago. Do you understand it now? So we've just broken the word down so that it's clear to you. The first thing is we're taken from darkness to light. Okay? Then we're called to an inheritance. Then we're led to follow God. Then we're led to hear Him. You get it now? So we know that there must be a definite destination. I'm not done yet. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Paul explores that word just like he did for, what's that word again? The word ake, right? Where he uses Bereshith. Bereshith in Colossians 1:15 and 18, both for firstborn, forth from the dead, egg, beginning. He just opens up the meaning of that word, you know, in a very, very explicit way. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. You learning something? So we know that, therefore, that leading of the Spirit of God is not some complicated thing, right? It's not complicated. It's not some mysterious something or mystic that you can't find out. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. As the eagle stirs up the nest, there's one other word I didn't talk about, stirs up the nest, flutters over our young, spreads abroad our wings, takes them and bears them on the wings. So we've seen the word bear, nasa. The word take is the word lakash. L-A-Q-A-C-H. L-A-Q-A-C-H. Now, if you go to Genesis again, Genesis 2 and 15. The Lord put man, he took man, and put man in the garden. He took him and put him. Genesis 2:21. He took his ribs and closed up the flesh. He took. So, to take man and put him somewhere. That is, God puts you where he wants you to be. Now again, verse 12, Deuteronomy 32, the Lord alone will lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Nakash again. Lead. So, pay attention here. That means the leading will include instruction, direction, and exodus, following, okay, to a definite place that is not personal to you. How about that? It's not personal to you. You only have a role in a collective inheritance. So it means that there's God's voice. It also includes God saying no, right? Does it? Does it include God restraining you? Yeah, he does. It also includes him permitting you. It includes him instructing. Does it include his voice? Huh? Okay. Does it include reminding you? Yeah, he does. So, here, Deuteronomy 32 again, when it says he leads, we have the word alak, we studied that. We have the word nakash, and then to carry, to take you, to lead you about as his son. So, since we know that son means one that you give your portion to. So, if you ask God, what is your inheritance? What is your portion? God, your father, will save the whole world. My portion is the whole world. David will say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness. The fullness referring to the glory or what is said in Genesis 1:26-28. Fill the earth. So, God's leading, therefore, for his son, will be his Genesis project. As a son, Genesis, Exodus 4:22, B-N, or the firstborn, which is the one who has the role and responsibility. So, the word firstborn, look up guys, a whole nation was called son. A whole nation was called firstborn. Now, Jesus, and we said the word Zera is used for an individual, then a collective word. So, we can use the word firstborn for everybody. Right? And for one person. So, Jesus being called the Son means he embodies all we are to do in life. If he is also called the firstborn, that means he becomes the example of everything we will be doing in life. So our leading is around Jesus. Is that correct? Come on. Come on. Because he is just like Israel is my son. Israel is my firstborn. So together we are the son, right? We found son in him. Together we are the firstborn. That's why Romans 8:15 says, we have received the spirit of the Otesia. We are now in the place of the Son. So if we are in the place of the Son by the Spirit, that means we carry out the work of the Son in the earth. Because the leading is about the Son. Hallelujah. Is that clear? The leading is about the Son. The leading is about the firstborn work. The Son, who has the possession, who has the inheritance, the firstborn, who carries the responsibility. So we've seen, whether it's Noah, Enoch, or Abraham, the walk was the walk of a prophet in the earth, God's spokesperson in the earth. And the same responsibility was passed on to Israel as a nation, even though they failed at it. But that responsibility was passed on to them as a people. So here is Paul in Rome or Ephesus. And he says to them, as many as I led, their mind goes to Israel. They are the sons. He ends up by saying, we have the spirit of otesia, adoption. We cry, Abba, Father. Then he says, we are joint heirs. Socleronomos. We are joint heirs. And as he's saying that, everybody looks into the scriptures. And what comes to their mind is responsibility. Let me see how you're following this. They are not reading Romans 8 when he's teaching Romans 8. They are reading Exodus. Is that very clear? They are reading Genesis. They are not reading Romans 8 as he's in Romans 8. So I told you, every time you read a text of the epistles, there is a story or narratives, there are narratives where in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Learning something? Very good. So he carries us, which means if he's the one carrying us, if he's the one ahead, that means it has to carry out what he wanted to do through Abraham, right? Right? Through Isaac, right? Come on. Through Jacob, through Abel, through Enoch, through Noah, through Moses, through Israel, through David. Or very precisely through Jesus. So the leading of the Spirit is to carry on the walk of Jesus in the earth. Is that correct? Very good. Is it making sense? So it is in all the land, in all the earth. In all the earth. So now let's examine something. So look up guys. So when Jesus says to the 12, or let's say the 17, go into all the world. Is that the leading of the Spirit? Is that it? Come on. That's it. Go and make disciples of every nation. Matthew 28:19. That is the leading. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:47. So, if a guy begins to ask God to lead him, he might get to hear voices. Because God has led us. Amen. In that leading, alright, there are details of it. We're going to look at it together because I want to finish this aspect today. Yes, in 17 again. You learn this up? Alright, verse 1. So walk before me and be perfect. Yes, in 17:1. I am the Almighty God, Shaddai. Shaddai just means one who is sufficient. Okay? Now, what does that do? Chapter 18. Is called to intercede for a whole nation. Sodom. Verse 19. I'll start from 17. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which what? Genesis 18:17. Let's take it together. Let's go. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? See? That thing which I do. Then Abraham begins to intercede for Sodom. He's carrying out the work. Genesis 19, Sodom was destroyed. Genesis 20, he's in the house of Abimelech. And look at verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. Nabai. He is a prophet. So we found Abraham intercede for people. We found Abraham pray for people. Okay? To be healed. So which means, did you notice that Abraham's profession was a profession he had before he was called? So it wasn't about his profession. He was a farmer. Or someone into a whole lot of agriculture and all of that. So this superseded his profession. Okay? Which means that his profession was his choice. Right? It was his choice. Then he was also a father. He was a father. Now, if it was about having children, he had Ishmael and he had Isaac. And the leading says it's Isaac, not Ishmael. He had Hagar and Sarah. The leading says it's Sarah, not Hagar. So which means that the leading of the Spirit of God now subjects our choices to what God wants or how God wants it. In Genesis 22, he goes up to the mountain to see what the Lord will do. Ra in the Hebrew, where you have Jireh. It also means in the leading of the Spirit of God, we are made to choose His choices. We're made to obey His choices. We're also made to see His plans. Abraham was made to see His plan. And everything Abraham was made to see had to do with the land, with the promise. So, the leading of the Spirit is not man-made choices. It's not man-made career. Leading of the Spirit is not, that's not what it is. It's what God had to do with the old earth now through His Son Jesus. So Romans chapter 8. You getting this? Romans chapter 8. Verse 17. So you can know when a decision is not spirit-led. You can know it. Jesus said, by the fruit, you know things. You know men. You should be able to know by fruit. What has this led me to do? And you can know from afar off where it's been led to. What is this going to be about? If it's the wilderness, it's not the land. You know, you should know. If this is not the land, it's not the land. If it's idol worship, it's not the land. It's very easy to see that. You should know. So, in Romans chapter 8, 17, Paul says, verse 16 says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, by using the word with our spirit, it carries that as a father carries a son, as the eagle carries a, baby child, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the technon. By using the word technon of God, it's giving you that Deuteronomy 32 narrative. He bears us, which is, He bears witness with our spirit. That means you won't find a difference. We're going to walk through it together. So the inward witness is God in us witnessing to events and facts. So just like an eagle carries our young, a father carries the son, bears witness with our spirit that we have children. But I'm going to verse 17. If children, then heirs. Now of course we have the narrative of heirs. If you were schooled in some lovely theology like that, that people's property is always your inheritance. And if you heard some of those, see, one of them, I remember when one Bible study, this was in 94, I think. So there was this, I don't want to mention his name, but it was a very prominent fellow called a finance expert around Pentecostals. So he was telling us how everything in this world belongs to God. That whenever we see the children of the devil, that he ought to come back to children of God. So, I mean, at that point it was looking good. Because, I mean, everybody needed money. And you felt like, my God, this is salvation. I never knew this before. Ah, man, this is... So he said, it's your inheritance. It's your inheritance. So, someone, was it someone or myself? One of, whether myself or someone, maybe me, but I thought it was somebody. Now said, so what now happens if the devil's child who has our cars, if he gets born again? That means we can't claim it again. So it means that if I need your car, I won't preach the gospel to you. I simply just go, you know what? You can't be saved now. Let me get your car first. Then after a while, at least now I have the worth of a sinner now. You can be a saint afterwards. But that day I couldn't answer. Nobody could answer. God, we just laughed over it and felt, God will work it out. God will work it out. Because I mean, as young boys, we needed money without work. So, and you see today, people, early Monday morning, I receive. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Early Monday morning, I received this week. Anything I didn't work for, it belongs to me. Stop saying such nonsense. You get it? It makes us, you know, make God look like he is the indolent. Anybody that's working hard is against God. Why are you working hard? Why are you working hard? You don't believe in God. Okay, get this back on tape because I don't want trouble. So, you know, we couldn't answer that question. The wealth of the sinner will come to us. The guy calculated, you know, how it's going to happen. You know, and I felt, this is a good idea. My God, this is... And we said, it's for the gospel. It's for the gospel. It's for the gospel. That Rolls Royce is for the gospel. everything is the gospel. At least we are the gospel. You know. But I kind of felt that was funny. Because if you say you are a joint heir with Jesus, it has to be Jesus is, let me use our prayer language, his stuff. What is his stuff? And when he rose from the dead, he gave you inheritance. Go into all the world. So if you're a joint heir with Jesus, in case you thought inheritance means, was this Sunday I taught you this, that you say you're a king, you say cross your leg, I'm kinging. You are drowning in ignorance. You are drowning in ignorance. Say cross your leg, you're a king's child. Thomas told us years ago, he said, how can you, a child of God, be buying bully? That children of God, we don't demean ourselves. So in the service we're all going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I knew this nonsense really, but I mean that day people queued up to buy Akara and Dundu fried yam. It's for just go, the service of this present time, but for the moment. You get up now. What kind of gospel is that? Say, cross your leg. That's what you say, cross, everybody cross your leg. Cross your leg. You cross your leg. Cross your leg. You are a king. You will reign in this life. What's on your mind? Remove your MD. What if your MD is a Christian? That's why some people go for an interview and he takes an hanky that has been anointed for favor. He took the hanky and he's already praying, Lord, they will take me. Whereas you are the boss, it's your organization, you're looking for credible people. Somebody's praying on the other side, whether he likes it or not, he will take me. So that he will come and run down your business. He will take me, whether he likes it or not. So the guy brought his hanky in the interview. He didn't know that the other guy belonged to his church. So he went, the guy said, you are who? He didn't know that. Don't try that nonsense with me once. Cancel, what that nonsense? God for God, he calls the devil. Or God, man of God. Are you there? He caused Abraham to see what he had to do in the earth. And that's what's going to cause you to see. As you make, go get that moment. As you make marital choices, where it involves people, he's going to let you see how this works his plan in the earth. You know, we talk about beauty, right? Truth of the matter is, Sarah was a beautiful woman, so she walked God's will too. Okay, get back. Rebecca was beautiful. Rachel was. But that's not the issue. The issue is what's this going to work out? Amen. So here we go. So it says, Sanctorum Nomos, which is God's perfect will, is the inheritance of the Son. Look at Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Where the word heir is used for Abraham. Romans 4. For the promise, verse 13, that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed, to his seed, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Heir of the world. So, in chapter 4 again, verse 17, I've made you a father of many nations. How we didn't correlate that to mean salvation of souls is interesting. Before him whom he believed, how is this going to happen? He quickened the dead and called those things which not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, describing the miracle, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall that seed be. He only had a child through this miracle. And being not being weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead. Didn't consider, sorry. Then he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered under the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. If God is saying he's going to walk through me to fulfill the Genesis project, then a child has to come. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that he had promised what he had promised, he was able to also perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, look at 23. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but for us also, to whom it shall be what? Imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the inheritance of many nations is justification by faith in the nations of the world. So, in Hebrews 11, so while Abraham had just Isaac, God is talking about nations. Hebrews 11, I'm just going to read a few texts here. It says in 10, Abraham, now he called him in 8 to receive an inheritance. What is the inheritance? Pay attention. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, Sarah also conceived strength to receive, received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was passing because she judged him faithful who had promised. It promised nations, not a child. So the child is the miracle that points her or him to the nations. Look at 12. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as stars of the sky in what? Multitudes. As a sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. They all died, not having received the promise, but saw them from afar off. Verse 14 says, they seek a country. What is that country? Verse 16, a better country, an heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them what? A city. Chapter 12, 22 says, is the innumerable company of angels, the general assembly in 23, church of the firstborn, which is in heaven, the spirit of the just man, now made perfect. So just like Genesis 15, is brought back to us that event. It's not Eliezer, it's not Ishmael, it is Isaac. It is the world being saved by grace through faith. Abraham is a prophet. Interestingly, many people go and study Genesis and Abraham's life as a rich farmer, not as a prophet. He wasn't called to be a farmer. He was a farmer when he was called. He was called to be what? A prophet. He was called to be God's spokesperson. But people who have a materialistic mindset go to read Abraham the rich farmer, not Abraham the obedient servant. Let me see if you understand that. That's it. It's not Eliezer. It's not Ishmael. And so we are called to this inheritance. See, I'm called to the inheritance of Jesus. I bear the inheritance of Jesus. So when we say inheritance, it means a lot that falls to you. I gave that illustration in one of our services, that it means you inherit. Now, we've always felt that you inherit, inheritance has to be something good and dandy, cars and houses. Inheritance simply means you inherit. And I gave them the story that we bought this plastic manufacturing company. They brought the deal to me and said, you come and buy it. We assessed the whole thing and it looked good. And they showed me the profile of their customers and we said, wow, 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 haha, it's a good deal. And, you know, they showed me the profile of the machines. So we took the company on board. It took over the company. I became the largest shareholder. I think I became the only shareholder. So as we settled down to start to run the company, we now found out our inheritance. What a glorious inheritance. The guy who was the manager, who didn't disclose very well that they were owing him money, he just said, okay, I'm taking the company car away. They are owing me so and so. He took the inheritance. The other people came and said, they are owing us 5,000 products, 10,000. I said, huh? As we're still settling down, we just saw a court case. That the way it goes away. Wow. So we inherited everything. What an inheritance. That's why Paul says, if you suffer with him, you know you are going to inherit Jesus' enemies. You don't know? He said, if they hate me, they will hate you. That's inheritance. He has no car to give you. Hallelujah. He has no wife to give you too. Can I have an amen? That's important. Say it's your inheritor. Claim it! I'm seeing people claiming things. I claim it. Somebody sets up his job, his company. He puts out vacancy. You say it's your inheritance. His own company. Say, that is your inheritance. So you go there, unprepared. You anoint your application with oil. Put the name of your pastor. And you put the picture. You don't know you are into idol worship. Witchcraft. You go there. And they tell you on Sunday, go for evangelism. You say, I'm not called. I'm not called to that. What are you called to? To anoint your application letter and claim a job. Are you following what I'm saying here? He called Abraham to be his spokesperson. He called Israel for it. If he's leading us, he's leading us in the same direction. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
All right, good. So, what then is our duty? We already know God leads us. Leads us now. If God can lead an unsaved Israel, I don't think you have a problem that is leading you. But unlike Israel, alright, you walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Unlike Israel, you are born of the Spirit of God. Unlike Israel, it took away the stony heart of flesh and gave you a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Unlike Israel, you have an obedient heart. Glory to God. Unlike Israel, you are not a son by promise. You are a son by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Say, I'm obedient. I know to hear God. I know to heed His voice. Hallelujah. That's the difference. The leading is the same, but the persons are different. Is that very clear? I'm born of God. Hallelujah. You're led by the Spirit of God. I'm led. So, you know, God didn't lead Israel by prayer. He led Israel by promise. God's not going to lead you because you pray. He leads you because He's fulfilling His word. But you will yield to His leading because you are born again. Does it make sense? Glory to God. I believe that. Now, I was praying yesterday, or Monday. I believe this, and I believe because I'm seeing it, that the next 5 years, we will have a clear-cut practice of Christianity in the nation of Nigeria and the whole of Africa. A very clear-cut. And one of the things we're going to see is there will be clarity of mysterious areas. Areas of scripture that have been veiled will be removed. The veil will be taken away. And one of the things we're going to see will be an increase in the work of the ministry from the young to the old, to the elderly. Those who didn't serve God when they're young, as they've gotten older, will begin to serve Him. You'll find grandparents, great-grandparents, you know, as they come to that light, they'll remember the tug on their hearts when they were younger, and they'll begin to serve Him. Those who are old, advanced in age, whom we may not think that maybe the time has passed. No, their time hasn't passed. They will rise up to the task. They will. Because the leading of God has been upon their lives. The young people also, who are in their early teens, whom we just abandoned till a time, we'll find out the time has come. And we'll see that clarity, because as the word of God is taught in clarity, people will be, they'll be convinced the more in their heart by the non-mystic, non-mysterious. It will be very plain in scripture. So we must be committed to handling the word of God without personal idiosyncrasies, ideologies. And there will be a lot of freedom to serve God. And we'll see, just like the prophet said, in the day of his power, there will be willing service. People will willingly serve. There will be no need to begin to want people to give and to pray. Because the light has come, they're going to do it. So, be of good cheer. Those who hear you will hear you clearly. Those who follow you will follow you better. Those people who are under your care, who seem to be struggling with the faith, with time, as you first of all submit to the word, it will flow into their lives. As you submit to the word, but you first of all have to submit. You first of all have to adjust your heart. You first of all you have to correct it in your heart and say, yes, this is it. This is it. That wasn't it. What I thought it was, wasn't it. When that adjusts with you and your obedience is complete, then you will avenge every disobedience. And then you will see that the areas where you thought people were just not listening, it will be like just a snap of my finger. They just begin to listen. Why? Because you've adjusted yourself too. You're no longer standing in that place where you're neither here nor there, touching the leading of the Spirit of God. It's now clear to you what it is, and as you begin to walk in it, as you follow God, others will follow you, and others will follow them, and the glory of God will flood the land. And we'll see increase in service and in the work of a ministry. Amen. Glory to God. Lift your hands, thank God for that. Come on. Give him praise. Thank him for that. Thank him. Oh, Father, we thank you. We give you praise. All right. Proverbs 3:5. I'm going to spend some more time tonight. So what do I do? I told you the reading is the same thing, but the people are different. I'm obedient. I'm obedient in my heart. Praise God. I'm not rebellious. Glory to God. I follow quickly. I yield quickly. Glory to God. And I'm glad to serve. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. The word trust, the word batak, means be complacent. In other words, throw yourself in reckless abandonment. In verse 6, when it says acknowledge him, that word yada, yada, is used to be vulnerable. In other words, have no second opinion about this. He will direct your path, the word yashar. I told you that last week. Yashar. It means in the midst of darkness, he will find a path for you. So you must, first of all, trust in the Lord. In other words, abandon yourself to his plan. Because if you are not yet seeing his plan as is walking the earth, the gospel of his son, then you're going to listen to another voice. Since you know his plan, you know his leading can be outside his plan. Is it making sense? So you abandon yourself to his plan. You become vulnerable to his plan. Then he's going to walk through it. You're going to walk through it. You abandon yourself. E.W. Kenyon says, when Abraham believed God, that's for lack of words. That word means, it means unqualified committal. Unqualified committal. You know, I remember one, is it called Skit now? Just before they showed, I'm not sure, I think it was Super Story of Wally Adenuga Productions in what year they were doing it. There was this boy that the father said, jump, son. Remember that thing? Jump. Then he jumped, he fell down. They said, trust no one. Now, of course, that's very funny, but the truth is, God wants you to jump. He wants you not even think about it. That if he says go ahead and do it. Be vulnerable. Be open. Just trust him. Trust his purpose. Trust his plan. Brother Hagin will say, follow the plan. Alright? Follow the purpose and pursue it the right way. Which means that, what is the plan? What is the purpose? So, all my decisions in life, major decisions I mean at this point, must be tied to God's purpose in the earth. His plan, and I must pursue it his own way. Let's begin to see how Paul physically or practically demonstrated what it means to trust in the Lord. Now you know you are. Trusting the Lord is not just by singing, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, you know, people sing a lot of things that they don't practice. In Acts 9, he's going on the road to Damascus to collect letters from the Pharisees and the chief priests and then to go and put the Christians in prison. Then he meets Jesus, the God of the Bible, the God of the whole world, I'd like to say. Because when we say the God of the Bible, we're contradicting ourselves. When we say the God of the Old Testament, we're calling ourselves, is the God of the whole world. Praise the Lord. I call it into the Bible. So he says, who are you, Lord? So I'm Jesus who will persecute. Says, go now. And the Lord leads. And what does he do? He follows. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He knew where he was going, but doesn't know what's going to happen. Simply follow. Send a brother to him by the name of Ananias, and he didn't doubt it. Ananias lays hands on him, and the Lord said, Ananias, I've showed him great and mighty things that he will suffer for my name's sake. Paul moved without knowing where, just like Abraham. He told disciples, go into all the world. They've never been there before. And they go. Second thing. Acts 13. Acts 13 verse 2. Here is Paul. They were in the church. Verse 1. So I said the church. There's nothing God's going to call you to do that will be outside the church. They were in the church. The 12 were in the church. Israel was a congregation. Praise the Lord. They're in the church. Abraham was called to be in the people. Since he was good and maker as God. He's in the church. And verse 2 says, as they did what? Ministered to the Lord, means to wait on the Lord, and fasted. We also know also in verse 3, that they fasted and prayed. And he says, the Holy Ghost said. That's the first time in the book of Acts that you read the Holy Ghost said. That's the first time. Now, you have Agabus prophesied, Acts 11. Sure. You have Acts 10, and the Spirit said to me, that's not Peter now, Acts 10, when he went to the house of Cornelius. But this is the first time the Holy Ghost said, which has to do with utterances in a meeting. The first time you see it. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have called them. By fasting and praying, you show that you are vulnerable to what God says. You are not full of your desires. They were able to fast and pray. Let's learn to do spiritual activities that puts us in the place of hearing what he has been saying. Let's not be like Israel, who will be found just about themselves. We are hungry. We are thirsty. We want this. We want that. We want this. We want that. For 40 years, they began to have idols. We want this. We want that. We want this. We want that. But here they waited on the Lord. Moses is always waiting on the Lord. Same as Abraham. So we then wait on the Lord. Learn to pray and fast often. Learn to be in among believers to do the same thing. In Acts 16, just three chapters after, they were in the same work, going about the work of the gospel. And they said they were forbidden, verse 6, of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7 says, the Spirit didn't allow them go. Verse 10 says, they had a vision and then they gathered some babayas. God wanted them to preach in Macedonia. What can we deduce from that? It's a life of not having a ready answer. Imagine you are called to go. Then the one who called you to go say, hold on. How would I, if I'm someone who is impatient, I'm not going to hear hold on. But they're able to know, he says, hold on. Because they didn't stop praying and fasting. They didn't stop waiting on the Lord. There is no time you need to stop praying and fasting and waiting on the Lord. Oh, well, I prayed and fasted. Thank God. Oh, God spoke to me. He told me what to do. He told me how to do it. No, no. Even when they heard the Holy Ghost here in Acts 13, they still continue praying and fasting. Becomes a culture. So they assuredly gathered. They're shortly gathered. They're able to put it together. Hope has a word here. They're shortly gathered. Acts 20:22. I go bound in Jerusalem. not knowing the things that before me, save the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city. Compelled in the Spirit. Compelled in the Spirit to do the will of God. Acts 21, verse 4. The brethren, verse 3. So 4, sorry. Through the Spirit said to Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Acts 21, verse 8 and 9. Philip's daughters prophesied. Acts 21, verse 11. Agabus. So within that obedience, I'll pick up specifics. Okay, don't go here now. Go here now. We'll talk here. But I must be found in that obedience. I must be found carrying out the inheritance of Jesus in the earth. Therefore, my prayer life is important. But if I'm always praying about what I want, I'm not going to hear. Are you following what I'm saying? If my prayer life is all about give me, I take all you give me, I'm not going to hear. If I'm always about saying something to get something from God, which most of the time he doesn't have, I'm not going to hear. I must learn to listen. God already carries me. God already is with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me, even when I disobey. But I need to obey so that I can carry out his will in the earth. All leading is about his inheritance in the earth. If I know this, then there's no confusion about what I am led to do. If I know this, then there's no single confusion. I know where I'm going. You know, it's like if I'm going to Ibadan now, and I live from Lagos, and then I see along the line, and I check the Google map, and the Google map says, go to Epe. It's making sense. Right? Because I can still go from Epe, right? Get to Ibadan. So, as I get to Epe, it says, keep turning to the right. I'm on the Sagampuni Expressway. Then I say, this is not where I'm going to. Because I know where I'm going to. So the moment I already know where the leading can take me to, and where the leading can take me to, then I can take the right decisions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just mentioned four things. Learning from E.W. Ken Hagin about, you know, they call it how to train the human spirit. I say it how to develop your mind. One, put the word of God first place. There's no one who fellowships with the word regularly who misses God's leading. Hear the word a lot. Every time I fellowship on the written word, around the written word, I'm fellowshipping God's leading for my life. Every time I come to the service, hear the word. Every time I hear brethren share God's word. Every time I listen to a teaching. Every time I feast on the written word. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Let them depart from your eyes. For they are light to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. I put the word first place. Put it first place. That's what I listen to every day. Mostly every day. I'm eager to hear it. Because hearing God's word means hearing his leading. Two. Meditate on it. Joshua 1:8. Joshua is called to carry that inheritance on. What's the instruction? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. He says you meditate day and night and observe to do all that's in therein. Then you make your way prosperous and have good success. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that, you know, stands not in the way of sinners, but sits in the seat of the scornful. But he delights in the law of the Lord. In this law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted in the midst of the waters. His leaves shall not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. First Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them that your profiting may appear. One, I put the word prosperous. Two, I meditate. Three, I speak the word often. Never speak doubts. Never speak confusion. Never speak your desires alone. Speak God's desires into your mind. Put the word of God on your lips all the time. Let it be your meditation, your confession night and day. And lastly, instantly, obey the voice of your spirit. Instantly, immediately. The song about instantly, obeying the leading of the spirit.
I take spirit-led decisions. I take spirit-led decisions. I take spirit-led decisions. I don't take fleshly induced decisions. I take spirit-led decisions. I don't take ambition-induced decisions. I take spirit-led decisions because I'm led of God. Yes, the Lord. Thank you. Speak in other tongues. You lead and I will follow. You speak and I heed.
You lead and I will follow.
To thee.